Good morning, church. How was your week? Good. My week was good. And I thank God for your lives and also my lives. God has been so good to me that today I'm standing here again to communion with you. So if you got your Bible with you, you can take and open with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. I'm reading from verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And whom has the arms of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hide, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, your people, as fragile as we are, as sinful as we are, you have shown us mercy. And now, Father, we have gathered before the throne of grace. Lord, we have come as we are, sinners and broken. Lord, amend us and sanctify us. Let us feel your presence is here with us. Take all our burdens away and give us a mind and heart that will focus on your ways. I am but empty vessel, set me apart. Anoint my lips and speak to me, and through me, through every heart and mind that is open to hear your word. These many blessings we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I would like us to consider a topic, the wounded healer. The wounded healer. The song of meditation says, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sins and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpour. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Sin and despair, like sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that's greater, yes, grace untold, point to the refuge, the mighty cross. Who is your refuge? And what are you going through? Marvelous grace, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? I would like to say that if you are here to see the grace of God, it says to you the grace of God is received. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. What sin have you committed that you think the grace of God cannot cover? What is the talk that people talk about you because of the sins? I'm here to tell you, to encourage you, to motivate you, to inspire you that the grace of God can cover every sin. It doesn't matter the magnitude of your sin. The grace of God can cover. Why? Because the Son of God died on the cross. Not for anybody, but for you and for me. You know, people just don't regard who Jesus is. But to me, Jesus is a friend. He's a savior. He's the creator. He's the beginner and the sustainer and the finisher of my faith. Who is Jesus to you? There are a lot of Christians in this world. But those who have seen Jesus know how precious he is. Those who have seen Jesus know how wonderful our Savior is. Bible says that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is grace of God that has made me to live. It is grace of God that I'm able to talk and speak. It is grace of God, despite your burdens, you are still alive. Thanks and praise be to God. Despite what we are going through in this world, there's consolation that there's somebody who cares so much to die for you and for me. I don't know what you are going through at home, in your marriages, at workplace, but I would like to encourage you, to inspire you, that you are not alone. For there's somebody who has been there. He was wounded, but yet he is the healer. Christ was wounded, but through his wounds, we have had our freedom. God gave this vision to Isaiah that the Lamb of God will be despised by the world. When he comes, people will run away from him because he is not worthy to be looked at. By the same person who has died for me and for you. Let me tell you a story. It was Thursday midnight. The sun was off. The moon was on. The night was silent. Everyone was sleeping. People were far asleep. And I was sleeping too. In the midnight, I heard a voice. The voice woke me up from my midnight sleep. The voices were far away off. Now I heard people coming towards where I was. They were shouting, "Kill him! Beat him! That's he!" I was wondering what was happening during that night. I woke up. And I was so sleepy, so I fell asleep again. The angry mob, the voice of this angry mob woke me up again. Yes, they were angry. Yes, they were shouting. Yes, he has caused commotion in the city. Yes, now our respect has been reduced. Yes, that's the gentleman. He speaks as if he's the Son of God. He speaks as if he knows everything. Now we have caught him. Now that's the man. We are sending him. Pinch him. Thrust him out. Beat him up. Oh yes, he deserves it. They shipped this gentleman. Friends, the noise was so heavy. And all of a sudden, I decided just to look at what was going on outside. And I peeped through my window and I saw a crowd of people. And in the midst of this crowd, there was a young man around his 30s. Blood was oozing from every part of his being. And he was standing in front of this crowd. I was very inquisitive. So I decided to go out and see what is going on. I went out and pushed my way through the crowd. People were pushing me out, but I was forcing my way through. And when I got near to this gentleman, I asked him, "What have you done to deserve this? What is your crime to deserve this kind of beating? By the way, are you a thief? Are you an armed robber? Tell me your crime." This gentleman looked through my eyes and he said, "I gave my life to you. But you, what have you given me? I left my house above, my father's house, shining with gold. I left all for you. But you, what have you given me? What have you given to your Savior?" Remember, this young man I'm talking about is our Savior. He died on the cross for my life to be preserved. Christ died for humanity. Christ died for me and you. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter your degrees. It doesn't matter how people look at you. Christ says, "No, you are so precious for me. Let you alone, I will have come down from heaven and die for you because you are precious." Isaiah says that surely he has borne all our grief and carried all our sorrows. What is your sorrow? Is it diseases or sickness? Is it a problem that you cannot fight by your own? What is your sorrow? Is it your children that you are praying for that they will grow in the fear of God? Christ says, "No, I bore every sorrow for you. Your diseases, I know what you are going through, the pain, I know it." That young man, blood was everywhere. And through that blood, you and me have been freed. He says, "And when the Son of God set you free, you become free indeed." People claim to be free. But the question is, are they free indeed? Or they are free to be in the bondage of the enemy? Most Christians claim to be free. But the question is, are they truly free? Or they are still in bondage? We can talk about freedom. Yes, we can talk about it. But there's a difference between talk and action. Are we free? Christ has come to set us free because he is the Son of God. And when the Son of God sets you free, you become free indeed. The devil comes not, remember, but to steal what does not belong to him and to kill what he has stolen and then destroy what he has killed. But the Son of God has come that you and me will have life and have it abundantly. Now, abundantly means that you have life in excess. And when you have life in excess, you can give that life to those who haven't got. The question is, have you got life in excess that you want to give to those who haven't got? At times, I look at Seventh-day Adventists as Christians. And I plead that God will open our eyes to see where we are in the realm of time. When you read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it says that the sons of Issachar understand the time in which they live in. The sons of Issachar know the period of time they live in the world history. Are we the sons and daughters of Issachar? Do we really know the time in which we live in? Or are we going up and down, don't know what the time we live in? Friends, darkness is all over. But when you read John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. By Him, everything was created. And Colossians says that the visible and invisible things were created by God. And in Him is life. And that life is the light of the world. The light shone through the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. The world will never understand the ways of God. But you and me, God has called us and anointed our eyes to see the marvelous grace that God has bestowed upon us. If your eyes is not open, then I plead with you that ask God to open your eyes for you to understand and know who the time you live in. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. I would like to encourage somebody. I would like to edify somebody. The word of God is still yesterday the same. Today the same. Tomorrow the same. And forever more. And it doesn't change. It doesn't change. As a human being, I can change. Yes. Because I'm a human being. But God does not change. If God changes, then I may not be here standing in front of you speaking to you. Because I might have been cut off. But the grace of God began in the Garden of Eden. Even when man sinned against God, God said, no, because I love you, I will let my only son come and take your place. Why are you still mingling in the world? Why are you still giving your life to the world? You have been bought with the precious blood of God. Not the blood of animals, not the blood of goats, but the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross that I may live. He's exchanged your life that you may live and testify. Some says that I shall not die. That's the psalmist. He said, I shall not die. But do what? Believe and do what? And tell the world the glory and the marvels of God. So you shall not die. The diseases, the sickness that you are going through, you shall not die. It shall not kill you. But in the name of Jesus, you shall live and tell the glory of God. I would like to encourage Belfast Central Church, the adult, the youth, and the children. It's about time that we have to reflect upon our life and as a church. It's about time. You see, as we see the world as it is, that's not how the world is. The world has got nothing to offer me and you. It will offer me sickness, problems, burdens, and death at long last. And whatever I have toiled for, the fat bank accounts I have, the big cars, the big mansions that we live in, one day you leave them. One day you leave them. Bible says it has been appointed for man to die, and after death, judgment. The judgment has set. The books have been opened. How shall you stand? How shall you stand? So the songwriter said, the judgment is set. The books have been opened. How shall you stand in the great day? How before Him wanting all I sin? Oh, what shall we? How shall you stand in the great day? How shall you stand? Oh, in the great, oh, shall you be found before Him wanting all our sin? Oh, wash. People will be found wanting in that day. People who have not seen their God will be found wanting.
But you and me who have seen Jesus Christ, we shall never be found wanting. Because Christ Jesus poured his blood for me and you. He has sanctified you and me and you. And when the judgment seat is opened and the books are opened, he opened his arms and said, yes, daddy, this guy was a fornicator. This guy was a thief. But you know what? I die for him because he has repented. Amen. I pray that you have this portion. Most Christians are going to be disappointed because they claim to be Christians, but they don't know Christ. Claiming to be Christians is good. It's fantastic because no one will fight you to say, I'm a Christian. You'll be applauded to say you are a Christian. But the question is, are you true Christian? Do you know who Jesus is? Has Jesus spoken to you before? Do you hear the voice of Jesus? It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you are an elder. It doesn't matter if you're a church person. What matters is that you know your Christ. Salvation is not about any group. Salvation is about individual. I remember the prophet Elijah when he had fled from the queen Jezebel and he's hiding himself in the brook. God said, I'm coming to pass before you, Elijah. Bible says that there was an earthquake. Elijah was expecting that God would be in the earthquake, but there was no God in the earthquake. Then the fire came and passed. He was expecting that God would be in the fire. But friends, God was not in the fire. There was a wind. Heavy wind. Breaking the mountains and the woods. He was expecting that God was in the wind. But God was not in the wind. But in the evening, when everything is cool and silent, that the evening breeze came by, then Elijah said, I heard the small, still voice of God. We imagine the voice of God to be very loud. We imagine the voice of God to be something mightier. But he says that no. When I kept silent, when I was there alone, when I was meditating, then I found the voice of God. That still small voice passing by. Elijah, what are you doing here? Friends, do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear the voice of God? Most Seventh-day Adventists are arrogant. Most Seventh-day Adventists are proud. Most Seventh-day Adventists, we talk a lot. Because we believe a lot. But we don't put them into practice. But Christianity these days is practical, something, not theory. I was telling people, you know what? I witnessed a baptism and I saw the devil being baptized. I saw Satan being baptized because he came to be a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian, so baptize me. And the pastor baptized Satan. So we got Seventh-day Adventists who have put on a mask to be Christians. But in reality, in their heart, they've made a covenant with the devil. It doesn't take you much things to make a covenant with the devil. We just ignore what the Bible is saying and do your own things. Then you are making a covenant with the devil. Friends, the world will not stand as we see it. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, it will go. As a boy, when I was growing up, I saw a lot of people. Some of them were running. Some of them were jumping. Some of them were sitting. So I was asking myself, why are these people doing all these things? Now, when I was growing, I remember that, or I got to know that. You see, when you were a little baby, you need the tap of your mother or your dad to begin to crawl and stand and to walk. And what again? and to walk around and to run the race. But there will be a time in life that the race you were able to run, you can't do anymore. So as the world, when God created the world was a baby. Now the world has grown, has got so many children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. The world is old. It needs to go and rest. The world needs to go and rest. It's those who know their God can stand. Never be deceived and say, I'm a Christian. No one cares. No one cares if you claim to be a Christian. No one cares if you're a Christian or not these days. But what people cares is that exhibiting the character of Christ, showing the love of Christ, respecting each other like Christ. Christ did not pick scholars for his work. He went about and picked Peter. Peter was a fisherman. I don't know whether you have lived where fishermen live. I've lived where fishermen live and I know how they behave and how dirty they are. But Christ said, no, Peter, I've seen the pastors, I've seen the Pharisees and the scribes, the lawyers in God's house, but I don't want them because those people are too righteous for me. But I want those people who are so dirty for me to work with. Are you so righteous? In your mind, you think everyone is a sinner and you are righteous. You stand tall among your peers as Seventh-day Adventists. Be careful. You are heading towards somewhere. Christ is saying, I die for you and I would like to save your life. Christ died for me. He died for you. He died for our children. I pray that today's dinner with the Lord will be something precious in your life. Something that will draw you closer to the bleeding side of Jesus. For no one has seen Jesus Christ and has been the same. Peter was clueless. But when he saw Jesus Christ and imitated Jesus Christ, he spoke as if somebody who has been in university. So when you see Jesus Christ, something happens to you. And it begins right from the heart. For it's a fire that burns every sin and every weaknesses. If you are weak in a certain part of life, ask Jesus, Jesus, this who am I? Open yourself. For he knows everything. I don't like praying, Lord, you know we are sinners. Yes, God knows you are a sinner. What sin have you committed? Tell him. When we are praying, oh Lord, you know we are all sinners. Lord, we are there. Yes, God knows it. But he wants you to tell me, God, I'm a sinner. I chase after this woman. I chase after this man. When I go to work, I steal, theft. I do this. I'm not able to study the Bible as I ought. I don't come to church early. I stay home. I come to church afternoon. Dear Lord, I don't want this. That's all these things. God, look at it. But claiming to be a sinner, yes, God knows that right from the Adam, we are all sinners. But let's open our heart and tell him that he will have the antidote to cure their weaknesses. I pray that the Lord will help me and help you to overcome all our frailties and our weaknesses. Today, open your heart and dine with the Lord, and we shall never be the same. I'm pleading with each one of you, please, it doesn't matter what you have done, even as I speak, you can reflect upon your life, what you have done wrong, and tell Jesus, Jesus, I would like to dine with you. I would like you to bless me. So forgive me. Right now he can do that. If you made up your mind not to eat this Lord's Supper, I'm pleading with you. It's not too late until it's too late. Tell Jesus right here, Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know who am I. I'm broken. Amend me and make me whole. Now I can bet you Jesus will always listen to the prayers from a broken heart. He said, break up your heart, not your clothes. for the Son of God is passing by. Somebody sang this song. Jesus is passing by. I don't know how to sing it. But Jesus is passing by. Right now, right now. If you are going to commit yourself to God or Jesus, I tell you, He will sanctify you. He will sanctify you. And your life shall never be the same. Your life shall never be the same. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. As we sit, just a second, reflect upon your life. And tell Jesus, Lord, this who am I? Lord, I would like to dine with you today. Lord, forgive me. And He will forgive you and cleanse you. As the organist, if they can sing that song in a prayerful mood, Jesus is passing right now, right now. Do we know how to sing it? Okay, no problem. No problem. But I'm going to sing the song that we sang. The judgment has set. The books have been opened. Tell Jesus. It's 4:16.
Judgment is set. The books have been opened. I shall go on in the great day. Shall we be born and all it our shame? God, the righteous death shall win. All shall stand in the day. How shall we stand in the great day? Shall we be found before Him all? Oh, with our sin, oh, wash away.
So, how shall you stand in that great day of judgment? When you read Daniel chapter 7, it said, the Ancient of Days came and sat, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. The books of remembrance that record whoever has come upon this world. The books of life that will record those who will be living in the kingdom of God. And also the books of the dead. Those who have lived on this world but did not please God, and therefore they ought to be outside the kingdom of God. Please, where would you think your name will be? It's my humble prayer. I'm entreating each one of you that whatever you are in life, extreme or whatever it is, Christ is still there for you. He still cares for you. He still wants you to be among the saints who will be marching into Zion. He wants you and me to be among the saints who will be singing Hosanna and marching onto Zion. The Lord bless you. Even as we prepare ourselves and go and wash our feet to come and die with Him. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.